Good morning and welcome to Senior Sunday 2016. We're excited to honor some incredible seniors this morning. The seniors that we're honoring, today we're honoring Maddie Balmer, Shariah Burks, Kelsey Eels, Sarah Maxwell, Sarah Tidwell, Everett Moore, Chase Mullins, Noah Newsom, and Malik Taylor. We're so excited to honor. Yeah, y'all can give it up for them. Yeah, there you go. We're so excited to honor these seniors this morning. They have worked so hard to get to the place that they are right now. It's been 12 gruesome years for our seniors, and they've finally come to the moment where they are. Some are still anticipating graduation, but the majority have already graduated. Before we do anything else, I'd like the seniors to stand up, and we're going to give it up for them one more time. So if you're a senior that we're honoring today, please stand up. Yeah. All right, y'all can take a seat. Unless you just want to stand the whole time, you can. Sarah, you want to stand the whole time? You're good. Okay, you're good. All right. Hey, I don't want to waste any time this morning. I've drank like 4 coffees. I'm ready to go, baby. Y'all ready? All right. Hey, I want to reveal to you or just let you guys in on a truth that God has revealed to me this past week as I've been studying Ezekiel 47. This is the truth that God's been revealing to me. The glory and beauty of God is ever expanding. The glory and beauty of God is life-giving. And when the people of God authentically experience the glory and beauty of God, then lives are changed and they will bear fruit. That's just a truth that God has revealed to me this week as I've been studying this really dense pocket of Scripture. Yeah, as I was preparing for this day, God continued to place Ezekiel 47 on my heart. And at first, I said, you know, no, God, I'd rather not. And our seniors probably would rather not dive deep into a theological conversation about the eschatological implications of Ezekiel 47. We'll just study Jeremiah 29:11 and we'll be good, right? Let's go. But God continued to place this passage on my heart the more I refuse to study it. So here we are this morning. I'm standing up in front of you, and if you're not already turned there, you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12, because that's where we're going to be studying this morning. And here's the reason I think we're parked here this morning, all right? We live in a broken, hurting world. We do. There's brokenness all around us. Turn on the news. You know, I joked with the youth group this morning. You turn on the news and you get a lot of brokenness, and at the end you get a cat video, and it's funny, you know, but there's a lot of brokenness in our world. Turn on the news, look on Facebook, just look around you. We're surrounded by brokenness. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hurting. And I believe this morning, what God wants to do is He wants to remind us of where He's taking us to, or rather, where He's calling us back to. So let's go ahead and read the passage, and we'll try to unpack this as neatly as possible. This is Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. And then he brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee-deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So wherever the river flows, there's life. There will be so wherever the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea, but the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." This is the word of God, Ezekiel 47:1-12. So we come to the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is receiving a vision of a temple, a river, a sea, some fish, some fishermen, and some trees. Through this vision, we are catching a glimpse of a place that God is hoping to return His people to. We're sort of piggybacking through Ezekiel's vision, and God is revealing to us that this is what He desires for us. God is saying, "Ezekiel, I do not desire brokenness. Ezekiel, I do not desire pain. What I desire is for my for my creation to live in harmony and peace and love together in a place where there is no pain and no brokenness." University Church and seniors, University Church, our God is not in the business of breaking people. Our God is in the business of redeeming people. In the youth group, we like to say that God seeks to redeem us much like we would redeem a gift card. If you have a gift card, what is it really worth? It's not really worth much of anything. It's a piece of plastic. It's worthless. If I take my iTunes gift card over to Walmart and try to buy a trampoline, I can keep on dreaming because it's probably not going to happen. But if I take my gift card to the appropriate store and I redeem it, then it is assigned value. God sees value in us. He sees unsurpassable worth in each and every one of us. There's a story 10 chapters before Ezekiel 47 where we realize that. And God wants nothing more than to redeem us and call us back to the people that He created us to be. So as I read Ezekiel 47, I don't see this as a vision of a place where God is going to create and then take His people away to one day, but rather this place feels very, very familiar, doesn't it? Feels familiar. It feels like a garden. It feels like the place where Adam and Eve would walk and talk and laugh with God. It feels like harmony, and what it really feels like is life. When you read this vision in Ezekiel 47, there is so much life jam-packed into these few verses. And I think the reason it feels like life is because our God is the God who defeated death. Our God is the God who only borrowed the tomb because He wasn't going to make it His permanent residency. In Christ Jesus, death has no sting. So when I read this passage out of Ezekiel, and where Ezekiel is receiving a vision of the desires of God for his creation, it shouldn't catch us off guard when we read it and we think, man, there is a lot of life in this passage. And we realize that there's a lot of life going on in this vision when we see that there's a body of water flowing out from the temple. And the body of water grows larger and larger, so much so that Ezekiel, as he's wading out into the water, he realizes that it is now a river and he can't continue unless he starts swimming. The river is ever expanding. We see that on the banks of the river, there are trees that will never wither. We even see that this river empties into the Dead Sea, a sea that could never sustain life. There's a reason why it's called the Dead Sea. And yet this river empties into the Dead Sea and provides an inhabitable area for fish and marine life to live because of the fresh water of the river. Our God is a fresh water God, meaning that He wants nothing more than to love you, to sustain you, and to bring you life. Our God is a fresh water God. Not only that, but Ezekiel sees fishermen that are standing on the bank of the river, fishing for the life that was now available. When our fresh life God shows up, it's attractive. People will come from all over to witness the life-changing power of God. The gospel message is compelling, it's mobile, it's ever expanding. The Spirit of God moves, right? It doesn't stay still, it's not standing. Ezekiel isn't receiving a vision of a puddle, he's receiving a vision of a river. It's moving. It's not standing still. It's going somewhere. It's working, it's active. There's something to be said of this river that is moving, it's flowing. This is not standing water, this is flowing water. If we're going to be a people who call ourselves followers of Jesus, then we're going to have to learn from the Spirit of God that is also moving and that is also flowing. We can't just sit still. When I was a senior in high school, my buddy Taylor and I got together a bunch of our friends and we started doing service projects all around our city. We found this lady who needed a lot of yard work done around her house, and we got a bunch of our friends together, we got the tools that we needed, and we went out and we coordinated this day where we were going to go out and do all of her yard work. We called our group Student Serve, right? What we probably should have called our group, or our service group, was Students Served Once. Because really what happened was after we completed that service project, we stopped. We didn't keep moving. The river of God's Spirit that compelled us to serve in the first place was still moving. It was still growing. But we stayed upstream. We didn't keep moving forward. We didn't dive deeper. We had our toe in the river of God's Spirit, flirting with the possibility of looking more like Jesus. But we didn't dive in. Let me ask you the question, are you flirting with the possibility of looking more like Jesus, or are you all in? Are you diving in to the river? In our youth group, we say that we do three things. Youth group, what do we say that we do? What are the three things we do? Yeah, you got it. Yeah, we converge, we equip, and we declare. They hate it when I ask them that question because we've said it so many times over and over and over again. But it you know, they can answer the question, so that's good. We strive to converge, equip, and declare in our youth ministry. We converge, we come together, and we form the body of Christ. We fellowship with one another. We enjoy being around one another. You know, we're blessed through that. We equip. We are equipped through teaching and relationship and fellowship, but we also equip others. God has blessed us with incredible spiritual gifts that He desires and calls us to use to equip others to look more like Jesus. And finally, we declare. We go out from this place, and we not only tell people about Jesus, but we bring them to His feet. Guys, we can do all of the converging and equipping that we possibly can inside this building, but if our faith dies when we walk outside of these walls, then what's the point? If we don't declare it, then what's the point? I can come to youth group and I can fall in love with Jesus, but if I don't look like Jesus when I graduate and I move on to the next chapter in my life, then what's the point? I can come to church on Sundays. I can sing beautiful songs about Jesus, but if I don't sing those songs when I go to work on Monday, then what's the point? I can sit in a pew and exalt the name of Jesus, but if I walk outside of these walls and I don't lift His name up high out in the world, then what's the point? Graduating seniors and church family, for that matter, I'm compelled to ask you this question. Where are you in the river? Are you just ankle deep? Or are you swimming in the river of life? Are you still dead in the sea that can't sustain life? Or have you received life from our fresh water, fresh life God? Are you trying to do all that you can to earn life for yourself, or have you submitted your life to the only one who can save you? Because here's the key to all of this, guys. In Ezekiel's vision, where do all of these blessings flow from? It's the temple. The stream that turns into a river begins at the throne of God. Every blessing that you can count comes from God. He breathes life into you every morning and He sustains you through the night. He's so powerful that He made the sun stand still. He is the headwater of the river, and because of Him we have life everlasting. God is the headwater of this river of blessing. He's the headwater of this river of life. Seniors, everywhere, seniors, and senior citizens. Why not? That just popped in my head. Seniors, our hope and our prayer for you, our hope and our prayer for you is that wherever you go and whatever you do, you jump in the river. We pray that you bear fruit like the trees on the bank. We pray that you experience life like the fish in the sea. And we pray that you always remember that God is the source of that life. There's no other source. God is the headwater of the river. From Him, all blessings flow. We pray that you know that. And we pray that you acknowledge that and you accept that. So we ask this question, where are you in the river? But maybe a better question to ask, or a more important question to ask, would be, do I honestly believe that God is the headwater of this river of blessing? Or do I believe that I have earned my own blessing, and if I keep trying hard enough, I'm going to earn my salvation as well? Man. That one stings a little bit, doesn't it? Could it be that it stings because we trust in our own ability rather than trusting in the one who gave us that ability? Could it be that it stings because we would rather rely on our own two hands than placing our faith in the one who knit us in our mother's womb? Guys, I hate to break it to you, but we can't earn this. We can't earn this. There is nothing Alex Searcy can do to earn his salvation. There are not enough Sunday morning sermons that I can sit through to gain eternal life. I can't earn it, but I can receive it. I can jump in the river. Grace that is earned isn't grace at all, but the grace of God that is received has eternal implications. Eternal implications. When I accept the grace that God has offered to me, then I begin to look more like Jesus. When I realize that I can't earn this, then I begin to bear fruit like the trees on the bank. When I realize that God is the headwater of the river, then my dead to sin life, my worthless gift card life, is resurrected. So as we graduate and we move on to college or to the workforce or to the army, we have to ask ourselves, do I believe that God is the headwater of the river? Do we really believe Ezekiel 47:9 when it says, where the river flows, everything will live? And will we always choose to jump into the river of God's Spirit and blessing despite the circumstance? Graduating seniors, I pray that you jump in the river. Church family, I pray that you jump in the river. The glory and beauty of God is ever expanding. The glory and beauty of God is life-giving. And when the people of God authentically experience the glory and beauty of God, then lives are changed and they bear fruit. Place your faith in Jesus and know and always remember and always declare that God is the headwater of this river of blessing. God is the headwater of this river of spirit. God is the headwater of this river of life. Maybe you need to jump in the river today. Maybe that's something that God is calling you to do. I pray that that happens. Danny's going to come up here and sing another song, and we're going to celebrate here in a minute downstairs with all of our seniors and honor them. So thank you guys for coming out today. Let's stand and sing, Danny.